The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Be greatly blessed as you are impacted by this powerful word of God from Christ Way Ministries International. May the eyes of your understanding be enlightened as you experience the power in the word of God. God bless you.
Let us close our eyes. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. From the bottom of my heart, I love you, Lord. I love you. Sing to the Lord. I love you, Lord. Profess your love for Jesus. Profess your love for Jesus. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you desire him. Yes, tell him you love him. Tell him you love him. Tell him you love him again and again. I believe you are not here to see man. I believe you are not here to hear man. I believe you are here to see Jesus, to hear Jesus. Just tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you love him. Yes, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Above all things, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I want you to just begin to tell him that you love him. Just tell him that you desire him above all other things. Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we want to say we love you. There is no way we can love you more than how you loved us. You gave everything. You gave the best. You sacrificed the best. Not for this world only, but so that we will be where you are. Thank you, Lord, for this positional elevation. Thank you, Lord, for placing us where you are. Thank you for everything that you have done to make it possible. Father, we are just here to just thank you. We are here to appreciate you and to praise your mighty and holy name for what you have done, for what you are doing, and for what you will yet do in our lives. Father, you are just so awesome, so great, that we cannot compare you with anyone. Father, we say we love you. From the depth of our heart, we love you. And Lord, what we are asking is that we need your help so that we can show more appreciation to you through our lives, through our words, through our service unto you. Help us to show more appreciation to you. Help us to love you thank you, mighty Father. And Lord, as we hear your word, speak to us. Open our hearts. Open our minds. Blessed be your name, Father. Jesus' mighty name we pray. And amen. Praise the Lord. Happy to be here today. And I'm happy to be in your midst, and thank you for inviting me to speak to you. I thought that I would see more people, but I don't know why I felt that this place would be so full, but no problem. I believe God is doing his work, and he will bless all of you here in Jesus' name. I'm talking about the cost of following Jesus. The cost of following Jesus. Somebody to read Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 62 for us. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. I'm sorry I came late. I just came in from Lagos. Thank God for my wife who drove me here, because I'm not sure I have the energy and the strength to be here. So, Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 62. I would actually love somebody to read. Yeah. Thank you very much. In Luke chapter 14, 25, said, there went great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke chapter 14, verse 25 to 27. Now, Jesus Christ said in John chapter 4, verse 22, when he was talking to the Samaritan woman, he said, ye know not what we worship. He said, but we know what we worship, because salvation is of the Jews. Say, but you do not know what you worship. The tragedy of our generation is that we have a lot of people in the church, but who do not know what they worship. Yes, we can pray, we can shout, but you don't know what to worship. Look, worshiping God is not about perception. It's not about what you feel that it should be. It's not about your thought. Worshiping God is not about history. Look, history can be warped. History can be changed. But also perception can be false. Perception may not be true. You may actually be deceiving yourself. You may be deluded. All right? Ladies and gentlemen, there is no killer disease as worse as ignorance. Because once you have the wrong perception of what you are thinking, all right, and you have wrong history, excuse me, you are ignorant. And as an ignorant person, excuse me, you are dangerous. And that is why there's a problem in the church today. Because there are a lot of ignorant human beings on the pulpit and on the pews. And not only that, there are a lot of ignorant people dishing out the word of God. And I believe that today, this topic, the cost of following Jesus, is to correct some misconceptions about God and about discipleship. And by the grace of God, God will help us. We will try and correct some misconceptions about God and about discipleship among us. Listen to me. God is God. And when I say God is God, that means that God is absolute, supreme. There is no other person beside him. Excuse me. Look, you cannot un-God God. You cannot change God. Listen, your prayers does not change God. Rather, your prayers change you and aligns you with God's purpose. Are you hearing me? Because his thoughts are not evil. His plans, purposes are not evil. Listen, what God has said from the beginning, it is so. And that's why people don't even understand salvation when we talk about salvation. God said in Romans, he said, the soul that sinneth shall what? Die. He said it in Leviticus, says it again. The soul that sinneth shall die. Excuse me, is God changing his word? He is not changing his word. The soul that sinneth will do what? Will die. Once he has said it, no going back. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. As he said it and will not do it, excuse me, what he has said right from the beginning of the world, they started walking. Everything he has said, they started moving. The whole universe is racing to fulfill every word of God. What you see as salvation is about changing places. Because that word must land on somebody. It will never return to him. The soul that sinneth must do what? Must die. The only thing that God did was to change. For someone to accept, to do what? To take your place. So that that word does not fall upon your head. And he took your place. Now, when you understand what Jesus Christ did for you, you will understand what we are talking about, that salvation cost him a lot. Cost him his very life. That's why we are talking about following, the cost of following Jesus. Now, the first misconception I want to deal with is the word follow. What is the meaning of follow? It means to seek after me. It means look at me. I went to dictionary and I saw the following one. It means pursue me. It means to pursue somebody. It's to follow. Seek after. Look at. Pursue. Come after. Come after me. Listen, before you follow someone, you must have had contact with that person. You must have been acquainted with him. No man follows a stranger wholeheartedly. Have you ever followed a stranger wholeheartedly all of your life? You just meet a stranger, say, follow me. And then you just say, hey, hey. Then they say that he has done something for you. Listen, when you follow a stranger, you know what happens? You are filled with fear, isn't it? You are filled with doubts in your heart. And when there's a little hiccups or problem on the way, you do what? You turn back and you run. That is what happened in the church. Because there are many Christians who follow stranger Jesus. They are not acquainted with him. They do not know him. Once there is a little problem, they do what? They run. That's why Jesus Christ said, my sheep hears my voice. They know me and they hear my voice. And when they hear my voice, they come after me and they follow me. So when you are not a sheep, excuse me, once there is a little problem, what do? You turn back. In Matthew, somebody to read, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22, I love this. We are laying foundation for this. Correcting the misconceptions. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. Read for me. Anyone? And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee,
saw two brethren.
Yes. 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 Yes.
And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
Yeah.
And they straightway left their nets and followed him.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, go ahead.
And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left their ship and their father and followed him.
Thank you very much. Listen here. They said that they immediately left their boat and their net and follow who? Answer me now. Were they hypnotized? Eh? Were they hypnotized? Somebody just come now. Eh? And say, follow me. Somebody just enter. You have never known him. You have never met him. And say, follow me. Then you now leave your father. Leave your mother and you follow him. Will you do that? Answer me now. Church, are you hearing me? Aha, you will not. They were not hypnotized. Neither had they left their brains at home. They did not leave their brains at home. They were in their right what? Senses. They immediately did what? Left their net and did what? Follow Jesus. And I will show you why they did that. John chapter 1 verse 35. Read that, somebody, from verse 35. John chapter 1 from verse 35. Somebody else can read from the church. From the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him saying this, they followed Jesus. The Bible says, and abode with him for the night to complete it. Praise God. Can you see that? They were, and to those two disciples, praise God. One of them was the first disciple of Jesus Christ. Who was the first disciple of Jesus Christ? Eh? Eh? I know. Who was the first disciple? Andrew. Thank you very much. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Alright? But all of them, they were all together. Andrew, Simon Peter, James and John. They were all together. And they were all, listen, all of them were all disciples of John. They were no strangers to Jesus. While they were with John, Jesus Christ also was with John. It was in his presence that John baptized Jesus and said, and they saw a bird. A dove descended on Jesus. I said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. So, they were not strangers. They saw there is a better life before they could follow him. They did not follow Jesus, a stranger. They followed somebody they knew. Somebody they knew very, very well. They knew that this man is greater than our boss, John the Baptist. No man lives a better life for a worse life. When Buhari came and told Oshibajo, follow me and I will make you VP, what did he do? He followed him. Because he was an ordinary lawyer. But when Buhari said, follow me, Oshibajo, and I will make you vice president, he did what? Left his shock and his law firm, left all and followed Jesus. Excuse me. You don't follow somebody you don't know. If you follow somebody that you don't know, you will soon run back. Your conception about that person would not be right. The first thing in following Jesus is to know Jesus. Is to be acquainted with him. Is to know him personally. Is to have an experience and an encounter. Excuse me, when those two disciples followed him, do you think that they followed him for fun? They saw something other man did not see. That was while Andrew said to his brother, he said, we have found the Messiah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He said, we have seen what? The Messiah. We are sure. Because we went with him. They abode with him for the night. They heard some things others have never heard before. They saw some things no man has ever seen before. This one is the Messiah. Excuse me. Why do you think that the disciples allowed themselves to be killed? It's because there's something they know that others did not. You think they were so stupid that you allow somebody to kill you? For somebody you don't know? Will you die for somebody you don't know? No. That's something you know. You are sure. There is a certainty that I know and I know and I know more than know. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Are you hearing me, church? So you have to be very, very careful. The question this morning is that, do you know Jesus? I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm not talking about my father attends Christ Way, my mother attends Christ Way. That was where I was born. That was where I was brought to. I'm not talking about that. I'm asking you a question. Do you know him? That is, apart from your mother, from your father, I know him especially. So the first misconception is not just about following. It's not just about religion. It's not just coming to church. It's not just because you are a Christian by name, but that you have met him somewhere where no other person met him. That is, there was a particular place that you actually knew Christ and you heard something from his mouth which no other person had. In that case, there will be no doubt in your heart. May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. I say, may the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. The second misconception is about cost. Cost. What is cost? Cost means to give up. It means to sacrifice. It means payment. It means loss. It means to give up. It means to sacrifice. It means payment. It means loss. I say it again. It means something to give up. It means sacrifice. It means payment. It means loss. Listen to me. You know, because you see television, YouTube, you see big men of God with flowing agbada and the month and the whole microphone, and then you pray in your house because you speak in tongues and you see a small vision and you say, give me microphone too. If I mount the pulpit, if I vibrate, all these pastors, they are old stuff. They don't understand. They don't know anything. Ladies and gentlemen, what cost have you paid? There's something about life that you don't understand. If you do not pay a price, you won't gain anything. It is not by sitting in your house and eating and then just speaking in tongues and and because you can jump up, because you can shout. There are some people, when they hold micro, they can shout, isn't it? And then you say, hey, Holy Spirit is moving. Glory. It's a lie. There's nothing there. That is why there's noise in the church. There must be a price. Listen, nothing goes for nothing. In the creation, excuse me, nothing goes for nothing. Whatever you don't pay for, you don't get. Whatever you get by chance, you will lose it by chance. Many years ago, when we started U Church, I was the pastor that started U Church in this ministry. And we started with Iredapo here. And after a while, some young men, they came to me. They said, we want to be youth pastor in our own church. I remember clearly. They came to my house. I was living in the phase 3 then. And they sat down, they said, pastor, we want to start youth church. We want to start now. We want to start in our church. I said, you want to start? And I look at them. And the Holy Spirit asked me to ask them 3 questions. So when they sat down, when they were looking at me, I said, can you bury someone? They were looking at me. Bury care. I said, can you go to More to bail somebody? What kind of question is this? Say, can you sleep in the hospital overnight because of your church member? They couldn't say anything. They kept quiet. After a while, they filed out of my house because they don't understand that pastoring is not microphone. It's not about how you can dish out the word and put A to B together and then say sometimes people say glory, glory, glory in the church. That's a deception. That's deception. You're a pastor. No matter how much you pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, something will just happen. My church dead. One young man, engineer Joe, suddenly fell down, died. And I had to bury him. No matter how much you pray, some things happen. When I got to church, my first convert, twice I went to bail him at the Jama police station. The second time they told me, are you the pastor of a thief? I said, yes. Today he's a pastor. Because I went to bail him twice. Twice. First time I bailed him, second, he committed offense again. I went back again and said, I bailed him. I said, Pastor, one this your boy. You are a pastor of a thief. What are you teaching them? We are trying. I teach them the word of God. But today, he's a pastor. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We are talking about misconception about what? Cost. In Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 7, the disciples asked Jesus Christ after resurrection. They said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Read verse 7 and see his response. The response of Jesus. Acts chapter 1, verse 7. Somebody to stand up and read it. He said to them, it is not for you. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Continue. Yes. Yeah. Thank you very much. That's okay. Listen, they asked Jesus Christ, will you now return the power, the kingdom to Israel? There's no human being that does not like power. Today, pastors fight to sit on the high table. You will see people, I was ordained before you now. You sit at the back, you sit in front. And they ask him, I said, will you return? And you remember, James and John Zebedee. Okay? These two Mr. Zebedees, they wanted the right and the left hand of Jesus Christ. And they said, Jesus Christ, in fact, they begged Mrs. their mother. They said, Mrs. Mary Zebedee, said, please go and tell our master that when your kingdom comes, I want to sit here. My son will sit here. The other son will sit here. And I will be the mother of the prime minister and deputy prime minister. Praise God. And Jesus Christ called. He said, call them. Call them. Call your two sons. When they came, they stood in front of Jesus Christ. He said, are ye able to drink of the cup that I will drink? They said, yes, we are able. Ignorant. Ignoramus. Oh, praise God. James was the first person that he said was cut off. Yes. He drank. Abby? Of that same cup. They cut his head straight away. There was Holy Ghost baptism, but yet they cut off his head. So don't get to a point. Look, you need to understand. It is not about kingdom. It's not about power. It's not about authority. It's not about position. It's not about title. It goes beyond. Jesus Christ is not interested in all those things. That's why he didn't call himself bishop. Or call himself archbishop. When you pray, do you say, Bishop Jesus? Eh? You say, in the name of Jesus. Eturi finger, papa. Say, in the name of Jesus. Jesus that is greater than your... if we say it's a human being. He's not interested. Praise God. When it was before the Pontius Pilate, and they asked him, I said, are you the king of the Jews? You know what he told them? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. There is nothing in this world that interests me. My kingdom is not here. So forget about kingdom. It's not about this, what you are seeing. So many of us, we are here. We want to be leaders in our fellowship. We want to handle microphone. They have not called us. They don't even call us to handle microphone. They don't even call us to lead prayer. If I lead prayer, hey, heaven will fall. Forget about it. That is a cost. It's different. That's not cost. We'll soon talk about the cost. But we are saying that we want to take away misconceptions from our mind about what is the cost of following Jesus. Let's see what Jesus Christ said. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I want somebody to read Luke chapter 9, verse 24 to 25. Luke 24, 9, 24 to 25. Luke 9. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Yes? Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall do what? Shall save it. Yes. And lose his own. Thank you very much. Listen. Jesus Christ said something that is so different. He said, whosoever shall save his life, shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall do what? Shall gain it. The Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. This is very hard. Very, very hard. What Jesus Christ said is very, very hard. But the Lord will give us understanding. I said the Lord will give us understanding. In Luke 14, he said, if you do not hate yourself, you cannot be my disciple. You hate your father, you hate your mother, you hate your brethren, you hate your sister, and then you hate yourself. So you cannot be my disciple. Listen, there is no cost in knowing Jesus, but it is very expensive following Jesus. There is no cost to know him, but it is very, very expensive to do what? To follow him. It will cost you everything to follow Jesus. And by the grace of God, we are going to talk about some people. And we're going to use their experience to talk about the cost of following Jesus. But before we do that, I want you to know that salvation is not cheap. It cost Jesus his life, his authority. Can you imagine God coming to die for you? Because he did not want that cost, that the soul that sinner shall die, does not want it to land on you, and yet use his own head to carry it. It's so deep. That's why that songwriter said, oh, how he lost me. Oh, how he lost me. I don't know why he so much care. Oh, how he lost me. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. I don't know why he so much care. Oh, how he loves you. That cost is so expensive. No man can pay that price. That was why in Revelation, when the books were open, when the books was there, nobody could open that scroll. There was only one person. It was Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain from the beginning of the world, that came and took that book and broke the scroll and opened it. What did he do? He broke the spell upon your life. He broke the curse that was supposed to land upon your life. He took it upon himself. If you understand that, excuse me, how will God spare you if he cannot spare his own son? Because the word has gone forth, the soul that sinners shall do what? Die. And yet, even when his son said, I'm going to take it on their behalf, God took away, look away on the cross of Calvary. That Jesus Christ said, he said, my father, why hast thou forsaken me? So terrible. You cannot bear the burden of your sin. You cannot. You cannot bear the wages, the salary of your sin. You cannot. It's very expensive, very costly. The Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. I said the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. Now, in Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 62, we quickly look at three things. Jesus Christ encountered three men. And it was about, follow me or I will follow you. And Jesus Christ responded. So we're going to look at those three things. And we're going to look at how Jesus Christ responded. And then we're going to close. May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. I said, may the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. Number one, Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 58. Somebody to read quickly. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And yes. Thank you very much. This man met Jesus and said, Master, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus Christ told him, he said, look, I don't live in Paraki. I don't live in phase 3 quarters. Neither do I live at where you staff quarters. I don't live in Lekki. Okay? I don't live there. What an answer. And that's the truth. The cost of following Jesus Christ. The man said, I will follow you. Excuse me, when you see the miracles, you want to follow him. Those people, they ate in John. They ate and they ate. Jesus Christ crossed over. These people also carry boats and they cross over. They said, Master, we have been looking for you since yesterday. He said, don't forget about it. You are not looking for me. It is the food. Many of you here, you are looking for the food. If I come to Christ, I will pass my jam. That's why you are here. When you don't pass your jam, you become something else. If I come to Christ, everything will change. If it doesn't change, you become something else. Jesus Christ told him, do you know one thing? Can you see? Listen. You need to understand Jesus. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one who created everything. And yet, when he was born, sir, he was not born in a palace. Excuse me. The manger is not like the one that they put the Catholic put to. And that they put candle. It's a lie. There was no candle. The one that you see on pictures decorated. He was born with animals. Have you seen where goat poo poo? And wee wee. How does it smell? Answer me now. Stinks. That was where he was born. Maybe you don't know. That was where he was born. Excuse me. When they were asking him about who owns, whether we should pay tax or something, he had to borrow coin. He said, I don't even have a coin. Please, can you show me a coin? They said, whose subscription is there? They said, it's of Caesar. He said, give to Caesar what is Caesar and to God what is God. And then when he was going to die, he did not die of sickness or, you know, of old age. They killed him. And even for charges that he knows nothing about, that he was not guilty of, and they killed him. Not only did they killed him like a criminal. Not only did they kill him like a criminal, they killed him beside the criminals. And then he did not even have a proper burial. Because he was close to Sabbath, they just carried him and just threw him there. It was the first day of the week that the women were coming and said, let us go and prepare and bury this man properly. But thank God, he didn't stay long there. Excuse me. Whatsoever that catches the eye of men is an abomination to God. The way up is the way down. Listen. When things glamour, I think you should take a step back. He says he confused the wise. Said the things that are foolish. Can you see God using the foolishness of man to confound the wise? When he was going to send people to Jews, he sent Peter, who did not go to school. No theology.
And then sent Paul to Gentile. The person with theology that's supposed to actually work very well among the Jews, send them to Gentiles. Where theology is not needed. If you understand, look, listen, you need to understand what we are talking about. About God that we are talking about.
It's very expensive.
So, Jesus Christ told him, he said, I don't live in Baraki. And I don't have a bank account. I don't even have a car. I don't have a motorcycle. I live for the day. Anywhere I sleep, catch me. I sleep. And then when I wake up, if food comes, well, if I don't have food, just live like that on a daily basis. May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. I say, may the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. Excuse me. What is he saying here? Number one, he's saying that a follower of Jesus had no worldly security and guarantee. No worldly security and guarantee. There is no guarantee. Do you hear me? Church, do you hear me? No security or guarantee. He was telling that man, it is not an easy road. If you find food, all well and good. If you don't find food, it may be nice. It may be easy. It may be good. It may not be good. I don't stay in hotels when I travel. I don't fly in jets when I travel. I stay wherever I find myself. May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. I said, may the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. So there is no earthly security. There is no guarantee. No guarantee, no security. We need to understand that. Number two. Verse Luke 9:59 to 60. Yes. Thank you. Let's stop there. Because our time is going. That was another thing. These are reasons why people don't follow Christ. We are saying it. Okay? I will follow. The only man that said, Lord, I will follow you. I mean, the first man that said, Lord, I will follow you. That man was expecting food. Everything. Easy. And Jesus Christ hit him hard. There is no security. There is no guarantee. Don't think that because you follow me, life will be rosy. Second one, Jesus Christ said, follow me. He said, let me go and bury my father. Let me tell you what he's saying here. He's like, look, my father is still young. I'm the only one taking care of my father. Let him die first of all. After the man has died, I will come and follow you. I will come and follow you. That's what he said. Don't you say that? Let me finish my jam first. Some ladies are here. Let me just marry first. Some say, let me have children. I don't have money. Let me have money. When I have money, I will serve God. In fact, God, bless me. Give me money so that I can serve you. It's a lie. You are not going to serve God. If you don't serve him when you don't have anything, you cannot serve him when you have anything. So don't deceive God. And you know one thing, he knows your heart. He knows your heart. May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. I said, may the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. You know, we need to be very, very careful. Because time is going, whether we like it or not. I told them in my church workers meeting, we are discussing understanding purpose. And I told them, I said, you have time to fulfill God's purpose. But you may not have enough time to fulfill your own purpose. I will say it again. That you have enough time to fulfill what? God's purpose. But you may not have enough time to fulfill your own purpose. You may not understand, but let me break it down for you. I will travel to UK. I will travel to US. And suddenly, he comes down with sickness and he dies. I said, he was planning to travel low. That was his home. He may not have time. Jesus Christ lived for 33 years and he fulfilled the purpose of God. It is not how long you live. It is whether you have fulfilled the purpose of God for your life. May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. I said, may the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. So don't wait. Don't wait. Don't tie your following Christ to a particular condition. Number three, because of our time. Luke chapter 9, verse 61 to 62. Somebody to read. Luke 9, 61 to 62. Another said, Lord, I will follow you. Let me go and subject it to discussion in my family. Let me tell them, Daddy, I want to follow Jesus. What do you think? Mommy, I want to really follow Jesus. What are your opinion? What do you feel? Some people, I want to go to my friends. I was at church yesterday. We are talking about serving God, and I really want to serve God. What do you think about it? The Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. I said the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. So, and that was it. So a follower of Jesus had no earthly distractions. No distractions. No distractions from parents, from mother, from father, from friends. You know what Jesus Christ told him? He said, he that has laid his hand upon the plow and looketh back is not what? Is not fit. May you be fit for the kingdom of heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus. I said, may you be fit for the kingdom of heaven in Jesus' name. Listen to me. I said that when Jesus Christ met John, James, Simon, and Andrew, and he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The Bible said they dropped their nets straight away and they did what? They followed him. They were not mad. They did not drop their brain somewhere. It was not that they left their brain somewhere. They were not hypnotized. They knew Jesus Christ. They knew what he can do. They knew that it was a better choice before dropping their nets to follow him. They knew it was a guarantee of a better life, better eternity, and they followed him. If you don't know Jesus Christ, there is no way you will know the plan and purpose of God for your life. There is no way that you will know that heaven is better. There is no way you will know the plan and the purpose of God. He said it has never entered into the heart of man. Neither has I seen what God has proposed for them that did what? That loves him. The plan of God for you are so great. But let me tell you something. The world will want to steal them away from you. Don't allow anything. So in summary, of what I'm saying, what will it cost you to follow Jesus? It will cost you everything. It will cost you what? Answer me. It will cost you what? Everything. It will cost you everything. Something that costs your father, your mother, your brethren, your sister, and even yourself. Then what is he doing? Everything. There is a reward for them that follows Christ. We read it there. It said, they that lose their life for my sake, we do what? We gain it. He said, those who hate their father and their mother, they lose their father and their mother because of my self. He said, they will gain 100-fold in this world and then in eternity. Telling you that if you follow Christ, you will never be at a loss. You may have setbacks, but you will never lose anything. But it will cost you. So you need to actually count the cost. To know and say, Lord, am I willing to follow you? Am I willing to go the extra mile of the way with you? Am I going to show up courage and say, no, I will follow you wherever you go. It doesn't matter whether it is easy or not easy. Whether I am recognized or not recognized. Whether I have title or no title. Whether I am known or unknown. I will follow you anywhere you go. I am ready to lose my life, even for your name's sake. When you get to that point of your life, excuse me, then you are a disciple. May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. I want you to stand up on your feet. Just say, Lord, here I am. I will follow you. Just talk to God and say, Lord, I will follow you. I will follow you. Whatever it costs, I will follow you. I surrender everything unto you. I surrender my life. I surrender my ambition. I surrender my pride. I surrender my future unto you. I am ready to go with you all the way. I want you to pray unto the Lord. 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 Lord, I know I am willing to pay the price. I'm willing to leave the distractions of this world. I'm willing to forego the pleasures of this life. I'm willing to sacrifice.